Okay.
Hey, Shalom Aleichem Raboisai. Muvan Tishabis Nachamu. Bezis Hashem. We hope that we are moving forward, not just in an oifen of forgetting about Tisha B'Av, Baruch Hashem is behind us, but having built and moving on to continue building Bezis Hashem to be Zoicha to the Nachamu. Parshas Vayeschanan is like a packed parsha. It's so rich you don't know where to begin. But I think that still we do have a good choice. Was I muted the whole time? Am I heard now? Was I muted the whole time? Oh, okay, good. Kriya Shema is the statement, right? It's this. It's the ID card of the Jew. It is the statement that the Jew lives his life with. It's the statement that the Jew aspires to die with. Right? After the war, it's known that Eliezer Silver went around to these different monasteries where children had been left, collecting Jewish children. Famously, the people in charge weren't eager to give them back, and they claimed that they don't have Jews here. And his approach was, he would walk through the dining room when all the children were there, and he would start saying Shema Yisrael. And the children, I don't know if whatever, if they had been taken in from the house from even from the age of two, they would invariably respond to the Shema Yisrael. And that was how he got them back to a life of Judaism. And of course, we don't know need to elaborate on how that is how every Jew aspires to die. So it's worth our while to spend a little time understanding a little bit what we're doing, what we're saying, when we're saying Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. So first of all, just to approach it from a halachic angle, Shema Yisrael is not a tefillah. You aren't talking to Hashem when you say Shema Yisrael. That's why we have a fundamental difference between Shema and Shmoneh Esrei. Shmoneh Esrei, the din is that if you are not, if you're, let's say, somewhat intoxicated, if you are too confused to talk in the presence of a king, you're not allowed to daven Shema Esrei. Whereas with Shema, it's not like that. And you can say it even with a certain level of intoxication. You don't have to be in that same state of awe. You do have to be in a state of awe, but not in that same state of awe. This is kind of ironic. Kriya Shema is deoraisa, tefillah is derabanan. Nevertheless, tefillah, Shmoneh Esrei, demands a greater state of awe than Kriya Shema. But really, it's not ironic at all, because the nature of the two different things is completely different. Tzitzis is also deoraisa. You don't have to be in awe every time you're wearing tzitzis. Kriya Shema really is a statement to yourself. Really, you're talking to yourself. Now, you still have to be be'ema. You still have to be in awe when you're saying Kriya Shema. You have to be intensely focused. But it's a different nature. You're doing something else. You're talking to yourself. What is the nature of talking to yourself? So it's like Chazal tell us. Chazal tell us that you have to approach Kriya Shema as though you are receiving a letter from the king who wants to enlist you into his close service anew for the first time. Okay, you are being invited to be serving in the close service of the king, and you are getting your first letter of instructions, of protocol. You're going to read that letter very, very intensely. You're not going to miss a word. You're going to read it more than once. No, I'm not advocating do Shema, 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 Shema. That's not what I'm advocating right now. But you'll read the letter more than once. You'll try to pick up on nuances. You'll try to memorize it. And this is how we, Chazal, are telling us to approach Kriya Shema. What do we actually say? Shema Yisrael. So first of all, we are obviously talking to ourselves, right? That's number one, brings out the point again. We are making a statement to ourselves. Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Now, I'm not going to get into breaking down all the words. I want to focus on the statement, not the Perush Hamilas. We have a number of times, I almost made it a regular, almost like a regular pattern when talking about tefillah to differentiate between the content and the Perush Hamilas. So I want to focus now on the content. What is the statement that we're saying? So the truth is that Kriya Shema is also identified as the mitzvah of Yichud Hashem, which I guess if we were to translate that, we would say wonderfying Hashem. I do not say declaring Hashem's oneness, because that's only a part of it. That's only a part of it. We one-nify Hashem. What do we mean by that? So, it means a number of things. It means a number of things. First of all, it is the declaration aspect. We recognize that Hashem is Echad. That's number one. Now that has a lot of significance there. First of all, obviously we're declaring it to ourselves. We are making a declaration of Hashem Echad. We're reminding ourselves the basic tenet of our faith. That's in a very beginning, basic way. Reminding ourselves, what do I believe? I believe that Hashem is Echad. But it goes further. It goes further. The Ramchal elaborates on this at length. If you look at the world around, you don't necessarily see Hashem Echad. In fact, that's the chiddush of Olam Hazeh. Chiddush of Olam Hazeh is that you don't see Hashem Echad. If you were higher up in the Shamayim, you would only see Hashem Echad. All the malachim, all the reality there is focused on one thing, Hashem Echad. But you come into this world and you see all kinds of other things going on. You can see phenomena that conflict with Hashem Echad. You can see people that conflict with Hashem Echad. You see a world that's going in a million different directions. And you see also, not just in terms of what people are doing, you see things happening in the world that do not seem to be in line with Hashem Echad. Now, as we've discussed often, our fundamental purpose in this world is to act as Hashem's ambassadors. This is a world where Hashem could go not noticed, could go not seen. Baruch Chaim Voloshin says that is the greatest wonder of the Bria, that there could be such a thing. It's almost like he comes from an opposite angle and says, if you really understood what Hashem is, you would understand that there cannot be such a thing as a reality where Hashem is not apparent, where you don't see that Hashem Echad. It's impossible. Just what? I'll give a mashal ma'ad of a doymer. Rabbi Y.Y. Jacobson, no relation to me, but the famous Chabad lecturer, they said that he was one time at a farbringim by the Lubavitcher Rebbe, and the Rebbe asked him, how do you know that there's a world? So he said, I see it. He said, no, that's not how you know. The reason we know is because it says, Bereishis Bara Elokim HaShamayim V'Ha'aretz. Torah says that there's a world. That's how we know that there's a world. So the truth is, Chaim Voloshin kind of makes that point. I'm crossing right. Yes, and this is going from Chabad to Chaim Voloshin. That's fine. He says that really, if you understand Hashem, you would be kafir in the world. You wouldn't believe that there could be a pocket of existence where there is not Hashem Echad, where you don't see Hashem Echad. But you know what? That's good for the Chiddush. Hashem could do even the impossible. That exactly is the Chiddush. Hashem could do the impossible. He was capable. You know how great Hashem is? He's capable of creating a reality where you don't see Hashem Echad, where it's possible not to know that there's Hashem. That's how great Hashem is. He can achieve mamish, the utter impossible. So there is a world. And this is a world of very great stakes, because a tiny pocket of reality where it could be not seeing Hashem Echad is really something dangerous. But this is where Hashem gives us our very great role. And Hashem tells us, this is your job. I, Kiviyachol, am not making myself apparent. And you are the ones who bring me out. And this is the significance of our declaration of Hashem Echad. We declare Hashem Echad. In other words, you wake up into a world where there seems to be a big void, and you get up and you yell, Hashem Echad. Actually, everything you're seeing is just manifestations of Hashem. Now the Ramchal goes on and says that this is not just about setting those sights for you, but this is a very fundamental function of the Bria itself. We do this first thing in the morning. Ideally, we're doing it even before the Netzach Chama, before the day starts. Some people do that. The idea is that we are giving the world a different meaning. The world is beginning anew at the beginning of the day. And the question is, what sort of a world is it? Is it a world of Hashem Echad, or is it not a world of Hashem Echad? And you know what that depends on? That depends on whether or not the representatives, those who are entrusted with the task, are rendering it a world of Hashem Echad. So appreciate that. Hashem's hanhaga with our world, the way Hashem conducts our world, very much has to do with whether or not he is actually perceived as the Melech HaOlam. And therefore, when the Jewish people begin the day, when the day begins with a great declaration of Hashem Echad, it's a different world. It's a world where, indeed, in the physical world, Hashem Echad, Hashem's conduct is more intensified, it's more all-encompassing. When the Hashem Echad is not there, then Hashem's conduct will be reflected in that. So Rav Shach, his Talmidim noticed that he turned into a certain pattern, that when he would eat breakfast in the morning, once 8 o'clock hit, he wouldn't eat for a while. I mean, either he ate before 8, but once 8 o'clock hit, he wouldn't eat for a while until like later, exactly when. And when one of his helpers noticed that this is a pattern, he asked him, "What's talk of the pshat? Why is this?" And Rav Shach said that when the school day starts, it's 8 o'clock in the morning. When the school day starts, the day after day, the knowledge that there are, I don't know, hundreds of thousands, I don't know, millions, I don't know, it's hundreds of thousands or millions of children beginning their day without Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. He said, I can't eat them. Hundreds of thousands of Jewish children, the day is beginning in Eretz Yisrael. Without that all-encompassing declaration of Hashem Echad, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, I can't eat them. This was a sensitivity he felt day in, day out. He felt the day starting wrong. But you know what? It's to very many degrees. And we are each rendering the day as starting right through our own personal declaration. But it goes two steps further. When we declare Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, it's not just a declaration of a fact, and now we move into our day, but on the contrary, we're taking it a step further. What we're doing is we are actually setting our sights for the day. We're actually setting our focus for the day. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad is giving us a certain framework that we're going to be operating within throughout the day. And this has two aspects to it. First of all, I am declaring now that throughout this entire day, all there is me and Hashem. Hashem Echad means Hashem Echad. It means that He is the only one there is. Now, understand this correctly, what I'm about to say. There is no family. There is no business. There are no challenges. There's nothing else. There's only Hashem. What do we mean by that? What we mean by that is that if the Hashem Echad was correct, and then you come home from shul, you don't come home from shul, or you finish davening at home. A, because we're talking to people who are not necessarily going to shul now, and B, because we are talking to women as well. Whatever the case is, you finish your davening, you said Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, and then your spouse starts. What does your spouse start with? Spouse starts doing their thing. It's Hashem. You go out to work, and you're facing the challenges of the day. Whether it's challenges in terms of integrity, challenges in terms of ruchnistic standards at work, or again, being challenged in the realm of Ve'alam HaChaveroi, all you see is Hashem. Problems arise, difficulties arise. Things are not going the way you want. What do I see? What would I like to see? I see Hashem. This is the declaration of Hashem Echad. And this is part of what we are doing in Shema. We are reminding ourselves, it's like Rabbi Yisrael Salanta used to say, Chazal tell that the din is, it says in Halacha, that when you say Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, when you say Echad, you should have in mind that it's Arba Ruchas HaShemayim, right, Lamalu Lamata, and Arba Ruchas HaShemayim, it's all just Hashem Echad. It's all just Hashem Echad. I think I was blocking the microphone. Is there just a change? It's good. Okay. It's all just Hashem Echad. This is what I'm reminding myself. And sorry. So Rabbi Yisrael Salanta said, you have to remember something. You have to remember that Hashem is not just in the Arba Ruches HaShemayim in Lamalu Lamata. You can be Mamlechim on the entire world, but the entire world is not enough. It has to be also on good old number one. Me. This is the primary aim of Hashem Echad. And therefore, listen to this. Rabbi Yisrael Dauber said something so profound. So profound. He said that when we lie down at night, we get into bed, we say, we make a declaration, we make a statement saying that I forgive amoichel anybody who did anything against me. We say it at length. And this is part of the package of Kriya Shema Lamita. So listen to the perspective he gave on this. It's so amazing. He said throughout the day, you know, we say our sites in the morning, but then you move into the day, and the day is so disjointed, so multifaceted, so many things going on. On the contrary, we say Shema in the morning because we try, we want to keep it all together in that one crosshairs of Hashem Echad. But this happened, and that happened, and it's impossible to keep all the different details and pratim of the day inside that crosshairs. But you know what? Therefore, at the end of the day, you come and you tie it up again. Meaning you're holding it from the beginning, you're holding it in the end, even if you lose it a little bit in the middle. So listen to this. He said, somebody really aggravated you throughout the day. And you were really upset. And you were thinking this and you were thinking that. You lie down in bed. Everything is settling now. And you're refocusing and you're saying, one minute. As the day dies down, I'm coming back to Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. It's really all just Hashem. When I'm moving back into that mindset, then, yes, hineni moichel lekol mi sheichis veiknet oisi. I can let go of everything. I can forgive everything. Why? Because, again, Shema Yisrael. Like Yisrael Salanta said, Shema Yisrael, Shema. Good old number one, good old me, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. It's all really just Him. So that is another focus in declaring Hashem Echad. And this also, we may say, is the significance. This also, we may say, is the significance of the declaration before a person dies. When a person is dying, that seems like the ultimate. When a person is being killed, Chalila, bring it home through the Marcheshes. Abhanach Egish was one of the Ge'onim in the golden door of Vilna before the Holocaust. A colleague of Reb Chaim Oizer, Chafetz Chaim, Reb Shimon Shkop, Reb Baruch Ber, Marcheshes. And he was taken by the Nazis. They didn't shoot him. They beat him terribly. They tortured him to death. And they did it slowly. And he was screaming throughout it all, Ein oid milvadoi, this is all only Hashem. Nobody else is doing anything to me. Nobody else has any hold on me. This is what he was crying out throughout the whole ordeal. And then, until he was finally redeemed from it all, back up to Shammai. This is exactly what he was saying. There is nobody else, nobody has any control over me. Nobody can impose themselves on me. If anything is happening, I see here in front of me only Hashem. That's all I see. So this really is aspect number two of Hashem Echad. First of all, yes, we're making that declaration as the representatives of Hashem. We're stepping into a world. We are setting the world right. We are declaring this is a world under Hashem's control. Hashem is letting the world loose. He's letting us loose in the world. We come out there and say, Rabbi Sai, this is not a world of void. This is a world of Hashem Echad. That's number one. That gives the world a different nature. It gives the world a different anhaga from Hashem. Number two, Hashem Echad. Anything I'm going to encounter throughout the day, what I see here is Hashem. And again, we do this morning and evening because we are humans. We're living in a human world. We're not going to necessarily be able to hold it all together in such a great way. But we tie it all up, at least in retrospect. That also has a lot of chashivus. We start throughout the day setting those sights. We come at the end of the day and we put everything back into that box. And number three, Hashem Echad means that Hashem is my only agenda. It's a declaration of mission. It's not just a declaration of acknowledgement, but it's a declaration of mission. He's the only one doing anything in my life, but he is also my only agenda. Hashem Echad, in terms of what do I want out of life, in terms of what am I all about, I am about one thing, Hashem Echad. And therefore, coming back to challenges we face throughout the day, Hashem Echad in terms of, I am singularly focused on what's in Hashem. That's my agenda in life. I have no other competing agendas. And therefore, if any sign comes around throughout the day, money can become a competing agenda. Comfort can become a competing agenda. Prestige can become a competing agenda. You have to realize that the issue is not just the Nisayan at hand, but the issue is this declaration of Hashem Echad. I have a single-minded agenda in life. And this is also what I'm declaring. It's kind of, if you will, call it a battle cry as I move out into the world. Hashem Echad, I am dedicated now to Hashem. As Hashem ha'emarta hayoyim l'Yisrael amsku hayu, have dedicated Hashem as your singular focus, and then, haka indeed, Hashem will designate you as his singular focus. So, emirtz Hashem, let's talk a move through a world of Hashem Echad. See only Kvod Shemayim as our agenda. See ourselves entirely as vehicles as Kvod Shemayim. And a very, very fundamental part of that is the ability to see only Shamayim in everything we see around us, and realize that the more we see it, the more in our mind we see Shekhinah in everything, the more the Shekhinah will be in everything. This is a very, very fundamental point. The presence of the Shekhinah will reflect the extent to which we render the Shekhinah there by seeing it there. The more conscious we are of Shekhinah in any given situation or circumstance or setting, the more the Shekhinah will be there. I'll just note, I did not check the actual details now, but there is a Choshev Hashir coming up on Monday evening from Harav Zevlev relating to the Inyan Diyam of our shul, looking for a Rav process. Reb Mandy, it looks like you were trying to say something. We're done. Reb Mandy. What's that?
Okay, fine. Continue.
We're not hearing. Mandy, you're still muted. You're muted. We're not hearing you. Just a minute. Do you know how to unmute yourself, Mandy? Harav HaKohen.
One minute. I'll unmute him. Where's Mandy?
That's to unmute me. Okay, good. My question is on the Machesed, the example you gave. If that's all you see is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how can they possibly be prosecuted for the acts they're doing? I don't understand that part. So if you can explain it to me, I would appreciate it.
How can they be prosecuted for what they did?
Sure. If it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu who's doing it, he's behind it. How would they be at fault for anything they have done? Why would they be responsible for anything that has been done?
That's a good question. So here we're drawing a fine distinction. We're drawing a fine distinction. The truth is that this question, if we just want to go back to the Rishonim, this is really the question of Paroi.
Okay. Right?
Why would Paroi be punished if all he was doing was Ratzon Hashem?
No, it's different. It's different in that if we're talking about it's all God. There, I don't even know how you answer that we're still involved with him. If it's all God, there's no me, and there's no Paro, and there's no willing. So if it's only a Kaddish Baruch Hu, how, A, can I relate to him, and B, why should I be responsible for anything I do? It's a Kaddish Baruch Hu. Okay, I'm sure there's an answer. I just don't have it.
So the answer to this question has a few layers, but we'll address the more practical layer, not the deeper layer. If you want to see the deeper layer of this, look at Nefesh HaChaim Shaar Gimel, and see how all the warnings he gives about how these really aren't things to be discussed. But then learn it, because that's how he set it up. But whatever the case is, if we're talking on the practical level, every person is an entity. Hashem created each person. And Hashem gave each person his own bechira. And whoever decides to do evil, decides to do evil. But yet, as far as I am concerned, the fact that, let's say, a person decides to kill. Why did Hashem put me in his way? Why did Hashem make me the target? In this sense, we say that whatever is happening to me, whatever I'm being subjected to, is because Hashem decided that this is what's right for me. Now, megalgalin choyv al yedei chayev. The person that decided he wants to kill, that's his own decision, that's him, that is not Hashem, kiveyachol, on the layer that we're talking, on the level that we're talking. That's him, that's not Hashem. But who said, sometimes when a person shoots a gun, it misses. Sometimes when a Nazi hunts for a Jew, he doesn't find him. Why is it that this person was subject and the other person was not? Why is it that here it was worse and in this case it was more painless? this person was shot straight away and the other was, what each individual is subject to and what Hashem makes him vulnerable to is Hashem. What the other, what the villain decided to do is the villain. Just Hashem decides how much Hatzlacha. You know, there are very many aspiring bank robbers, but only a small percentage of them actually strike it big. These are all issues of, in a very funny kind of way, Siyata Dishmaya, right? You know the Maisa about the Ganev was davening with intense kavana on Rosh Hashanah, the famous Maisa. They saw him weeping, the famous Ganev of the town. He's weeping and sobbing on Rosh Hashanah. And everybody was so inspired. Look at a beautiful example of tshuva. They asked him afterwards, wow, can you share with us some of the feelings that you had, some of the thoughts that you had? He said, I was davening to Hashem. You are decreeing now on many people that they're going to have losses of money. Please, please let it come through me. Let me get the parnasa. So this really is the point. Always matzliach. Last year he had a bit of business was difficult. People had a lot of alarm systems on their home.
Let me ask this as you're saying this. So at this point, the practical point, there is a distinction between people and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which means, and that's what I understood Shema Yisrael was, Shema, I have a chiyuv on you. I have a chiyuv, you have a chiyuv to me. There are others besides HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he runs us or leads us. Yes, that's very clear. But that it's only Hashem is where it gets confusing for me.
That's why the Nefesh HaChaim tells that we're on the level where it's only Hashem is already a whole deeper discussion that really, Enoch Hanami, our whole discussion now would not fit into. It's a level that, it's a layer that we don't relate to. It is there, but it's a layer that we don't relate to. It's not, you know what, this might be worth giving some time to, but that can't be done unprepared. If you want in a very, very basic way, what the understanding of that is when we say that it's all only Hashem, the mashal that Avigdor Miller gave for this was, imagine a person picturing things in his mind. No, you know what, this is not a subject to address unprepared. If you want to try to brave Nefesh HaChaim Shaar Gimel, go for it, Batzlacha. Okay.
Rabbi, good Shabbos. I wanted to wish you all a good Shabbos. Wish you a good Shabbos, Rabbi. You and your family. And everyone should stay safe and healthy.
Amen. You too, Moshe. We're thinking of you. Keep
well. Thanks. You too. All the best.
Good Shabbos. What do you have, Jason, quote?